Okay, it's yeah, it's October 12th, 2022, 20:02 hours. Ward Green here. I've been doing more camera research, quite a lot more camera research. Let me just see here if I can get the camera set up a little better. And I've found that, well, it's not, it's not that that a person can't find a way to buy these cameras if a person is willing to pay by the month or do some kind of financing. But I'm just thinking, yeah, it's I wanted, yeah, it has to do with design, with the idea of figuring out what I'm really trying to do with this camera. If I buy a new camera, what am I really attempting to do, or what do I need? And I suddenly realized that maybe just a good webcam, if I buy a really good webcam, that's a possibility, because you can get those for maybe less than $100 even. If it's good enough quality, it might be better than I would get with some of these other more expensive cameras, but it wouldn't, I'm not sure yet what the quality would be. I've just seen a very interesting video by Tony Northrup on YouTube, and he's got a channel with his wife, I understand. It's called Tony and Chelsea Northrup on YouTube, but it's a, and they've got some interesting videos. But this one was the most interesting one that I've seen, that compares these different phones. It compare, sorry, not phones, one phone with some cameras. It compares the iPhone 14, the new iPhone 14, which just came out, directly c compares it with one of the Nikon and with the Sony A7 S3, is that what, yeah, that's what it's called, the A7 S3, and also the FX30, which is a cinema camera, which is a smaller sensor than the A7 III. The A7 S3 is the one that is being compared. The S stands for sensitivity, I think, or something, because it's more sensitive in low light. It's the best camera for low light because it has big sensors, because there's only 12 megapixels. It's a smaller number of pixels, but the frame is still full frame, so they're big. It's a 35 millimeter frame, which makes it large pixels, because there's only 12 million pixels on that size. It's a full frame sensor. It's the same size as the old 35 millimeter film used to be, right? That's why it's called full frame. But the FX30 is a new camera that's a Super 35, which is a smaller sensor, and it's less money than the A7 S3, but it gets amazing results with this format. It's got, I'm trying to, oh, I have the specs here actually. I can look at the specs. I was looking at the specs on Sony's website for that camera. And I didn't finish looking. I hardly didn't really start looking at them yet, but I wanted to know about what the sensor size was. But I think it's a 20 megapixel, I think, this camera, so it's not going to have, and it's a smaller sensor, so it won't be anywhere near the low light sensitivity, apparently, that the A7 S3 will be, which, I mean, it already is. But let me think, but you can get, and let me find it, if I can see if I can find how many megapixels it is. Camera, here it is. Camera section pixels, right, 20. Yeah, it's a 20 megapixel for the FX30. There's also something, no, that's right, there's the FX3 though. That's right, the FX3, that's the other. That's not as inexpensive. That's a more expensive camera. This one starts at, the FX30 starts at 2400 at Sony in Canada's prices. 2400 is a lot less than the 4700 or 4800 or whatever it is for the Sony A7S3. So if I look at the, let's look at the FX3, see what I can find here. Maybe I can get it. Oh, there's also the, there's another camera that Sony makes, that's right, called the 9 Mark II, I guess it, the 9, the Sony Alpha 9 II. That's a $6,000 camera in Canada. That's another one, and it has specs that are, it's 24 megapixels, okay? And it's got the same, I believe it has the same sensitivity as the, because it has the same size pixels, it's 12, I believe it's 12 megapixel, but let's see what we have here. Yeah, I apologize, I don't have it all figured out, but I mean I don't have it all memorized. That's the thing. But I will eventually have some of this information memorized sufficiently, I guess, enough to explain without referring to all these documents online. How many, it doesn't even say how many megapixels it is right here. I'm looking for it. Okay, let me click here. You know, it's 24, okay. Okay, it's 24. Yeah, I just said that maybe. Maybe I did or maybe I didn't. Yeah, this one's 24 megapixel. The other one's 20. And the A73S is 12. So it's going to have more better low light sensitivity just because of the larger pixel. The low light sensitivity being the noise compared to noise compared to the amount of light coming in. Electrical noise causes noise on the f on the final image. So if you have more light, that's going to have more of signal to noise. A better signal to noise ratio is what you're talking about with this kind of low light performance. So it's better to have fewer pixels, and 12 megapixels is not the biggest format in terms of the top resolution. There's another video that Tony made that I just watched a few minutes ago or a little while ago, that was about, it was to do with the Hasselblad. What are the numbers of the Hasselblad? I'm trying to remember. Okay, maybe I can find it in my history here. The X2D 100C by Hasselblad, it has, I think it's 100 megapixels, so, and that is incredible for resolution. And it, let me think, probably wouldn't, you think it wouldn't have the low light performance with that many pixels. But it's a phenomenal camera in a great many ways. It just, it costs a lot more money. It's something like 10,000 or more than 10,000 Canadian dollars, and it doesn't have a lot of the fancy features that, it's Swedish made, and they follow a different design philosophy in Sweden about keeping things simple. It doesn't have a lot of complexity, which can be good, but it, and it's got excellent quality in the manufacture, or the design, I should say. The manufacturer is another question, whether the camera that you happen to get is, I mean, it can be designed really well, but whether you get a good one, whether you happen to get a good one, is another question. I mean, I think quality, that's where quality assurance comes in. And I think we're mainly, I think generally the quality assurance in Japan is extremely good, and I think the Swedish quality assurance is also really good. So I don't think there's anything to compare necessarily in that sense. So we're just comparing the design of one versus the other. The Hasselblad is not going to give you some of the features that the Sony will, but it's easier to find what features you're trying to implement in the menus, because there aren't, it's, the menus are not as complex, and the performance of the Hasselblad is just supposed to be amazing, just remarkable, just fantastic. Just I guess it's really reliable, I suppose, or people say it's just a pleasure to use it. That's the thing. So trying to decide what to buy, especially when there's that much money involved, and then you have the idea that the camera's going to be replaced by another one soon, you know, like because technology keeps on marching on. So figuring out really whether you want to buy something like that is the real issue. Whether you can afford it and whether you can afford to upgrade it the next time. You know, that's the idea of budgeting and staying within your budget. Is it in the budget or not to buy this thing? That's what I have to figure out. Or which one to buy or what to buy. Whether I should buy a webcam instead of a I've got to check my app to see if I'm still, yeah, I look, I'm still on screen, that's good, yeah. Whether I should even buy a camera. Now, single lens reflex, okay. Single lens reflex referred to the fact that there's a mirror in the camera that reflects back some of the light that goes to the what used to be film. Now it's a digital sensor, but some of that light that goes to the sensor is reflected back by the mirror. And the rest of the light goes through the mirror and gets to the film and or the sensor. But that mirror was why it was called reflex, because it would reflect back some of the light so you could see it in the viewfinder. And that way your eye was seeing exactly what the film was seeing or the sensor was seeing. But so that's a camera that has a mirror in it. And that protected your eyes because you weren't looking directly at the bright sun. If you were taking a picture of the sun, that protects your eyes, having a single lens reflex. But nowadays they have these mirrorless cameras, which are, they don't have that mirror. You're just looking directly at your subject through, and you have probably not a viewfinder, because that could blind you. So you've got instead it's a viewfinder. It's a viewfinder, yeah, but it's a display. It's a digital viewfinder, right? So it's just displaying, it's usually, or frequently, it's an OLED. It's an OLED display, which is a very beautiful, high-quality digital display. And you're seeing your subject on that viewfinder. So it's called a mirrorless camera because it has no mirror. There's no reflected portion from a mirror. So those are mirrorless cameras, and they can still be full frame. They can still be 35 millimeter, or they can be smaller frame. Like the Micro Four Thirds makes an equivalent focal length of 25 millimeters for the lens. That lens becomes equivalent to a 50 millimeter lens on a full frame camera. So if you buy a Micro Four Thirds camera like Panasonic and Olympus make, you use a lens that is 25 millimeters if you want the same performance as you get with a 50 millimeter on the older or the standard free full frame sensor size. So the old standard was 50 millimeters for the lens, and because it would give you a big enough frame for the subject matter to fit in. So with the Micro Four Thirds, for those lenses, for those cameras which have the Micro Four Thirds mounting system, you need a 25 millimeter lens if you want the equivalent of 50. Now, for the Super 35, I think it's, or one of the other, well, for the, sorry, the APS-C, I guess it is. I'm not sure if that's Super 35 or what it is. The APS, what is APS-C? See here. What is Super 35? That's what I want to look up. What's Super 35? Oh, okay. It uses the same film stock. Oh, okay. I didn't realize. Okay, that sounds like it's bigger than 35. Yeah, it should be with a name like that. But so what is, okay, APS-C. APS-C is a smaller sensor format. And the equivalent lens for the APS-C, I believe, is it was at 35 millimeter, I think, possibly 35 millimeter. Is 35 millimeter on APS-C the same as 50 millimeter on full frame? I think it is. Yeah. That is correct. Except also, you have to account for the fact that also the you need, it's not going to give you the full, the aperture size as well. Either you won't get the effective aperture size either. You won't get the same amount of light that you get on a full frame camera either. So that's right. But then I want to talk about something else you can buy for these sensors that are smaller than full frame. You can buy what's called an image speed booster, and Metabones makes these. They cost about $1,500 Canadian to get one in some cases. One of the ones I was looking at for the Panasonic GH5S, that camera, it's a Micro Four Thirds camera, I believe. So, and you use, I've got that somewhere here. Let's see. Yeah, I don't want to lose my. There we go. Put that over here. Okay, so. I was looking at this. That's not it. Hang on. There it is. Yeah. So with Micro Four Thirds, you can get. It's basically a 0.64 speed booster, which gives you. It actually increases the amount of light, or by concentrating the light. It focuses the light in on the sensor from a bigger size. So you end up getting more light, so it effectively increases the speed of the camera, or the film, in other words. It increases the amount of light, effectively, even though it's the same amount of light coming in, but it's focused. So these speed boosters can give you the 0.64. Also, it's the same as getting a 0.64 aperture compared to what you have. So if you have an F2 lens, the two being the size of the aperture. It's always a ratio with the f-stops. But if you multiply the two by 0.6, you're going to get an f1.2, which is a bigger aperture. f1.2 would be, or something like f1.2, 0.64 times 2. 0.1, basically 1.3 is the aperture you'd be getting, which is big. It's, you know, I mean, 1.2 is about the largest you normally ever see. So this would be a way of increasing the sensitivity of the camera, and it would. But the thing is, of course, you know, the it makes it like an equivalent to 1.3. But the thing is, you've still got this smaller sensor. I'm not sure what it means in terms of, well, whatever performance you get normally, you're going to get. You're going to get 1 over 0.64 times better low light performance. You're going to get 1.5, something like 1.5 times better. Well, it's like 1.33 improvement in the aperture. That's what they're saying here, but you get more than one f-stop, which is just a camera term. It's basically, yeah, you're not getting double the aperture size, but you're getting something better for the amount of light coming in. But the GH5S is, I can compare the two. I have another place I was looking at here. Like you can see, maybe I'll show you this. Let's see. The GH5S, there it is. Let me bring this down and maybe I can show you this. I can get it down into the frame here. Let's see if I can bring it down. Can I? Yeah. I think I can bring that right down. Okay. So if we compare the two side by side, you can see the advantages of one over the other. The GH5S costs $16.98 compared to $34.98. These are American prices, I think. Yeah, these are the U.S. prices. Because the Sony camera costs, the A7S III in Canada is more like $4,700, $4,800. So these are U.S. prices, but so it's more than $2,000 to buy the GH5S in Canada. And the A7S III has camera, in-camera image stabilization. That's one of the features, advantages it has. It's got a larger sensor, 35 millimeters compared to the Micro Four Thirds. It's got bigger pixels because it has a bigger sensor, plus it has fewer pixels too, right? It's like it's only 12 megapixel. What how many pixels? That's right, the GH5 is good because it only has 10 megapixels. That's why it's got a great sensitivity, but if you look at the size, it says bigger pixels. For the Sony, it says 8.4 compared to 4.5, but how can that be true? Because you're looking at... Oh, I know why, because the sensor's smaller. That's why. That's right, it's not a 35 millimeter sensor. It's a different size sensor. So where could we see... Okay, what's the size of the Micro Four Thirds sensor? What's the size? Let's look that up. Okay, let's see if I can get that. It's 17 millimeters wide instead of 35 millimeters. That's right. Right. So I'm trying to figure out why they call it Micro Four Thirds. So the standard one is 35, and the Four Thirds and Micro Four Thirds is 18. Oh, the aspect ratio is 4/3. Okay, that's what it is. Yeah. Yeah, but that's true of the 35 millimeter film too. It's 35 by 24. I think that's a 4/3 also. The aspect ratio, in other words, the width compared to the height is 4/3. That's what they're saying. So 35 millimeters full frame, right? And Micro Four Thirds it's a half in width and a half the height. And that's why it turns out that you need a 25 millimeter lens to get the equivalent of a 50 millimeter camera too. It's geometry. Anyway, it's something we're not going to go into right now as far as doing the math of how these focal lengths work or anything, but we don't need to talk about that right now. But with the pixel size, yeah, because it's only about half. The pixel size is about half, which is what you'd expect. It's a bit bigger though because it's only 10 megapixels compared to 12, so it's a little more than half. But if you get a speed booster, then you're able to get a bigger f-stop. Is what happens, right? Now I'm not sure whether that's in addition to the fact you've got more light, or if that's the exact same thing. But if we were to divide 4.51 microns, which is a pixel size, right, and say that we're getting more light, let's just divide 4.51 divided by 0.64, which is the speed booster factor, we get 7. So we'd be comparing 7 to 8.4. There's not a lot of difference. So we might get similar low light performance with a speed booster on this Micro Four Thirds Panasonic GH5S camera compared to the Sony Alpha 7S III. I don't know how I'm remembering all the model numbers, but there might be similar low light performance that way, and it costs a lot less money. But you need to buy the speed booster, which is $1,500 if you get the really good speed booster. You can buy cheaper ones. So by the time you buy the speed booster, you know, how much is it? Let's find out how much the, there's also the FX30. It gets an incredible result, you know, it's mainly for filming video. Like, it's a cinematic camera, but it's, you know, a lot less money than the Sony A7S3. That's a hard one to remember. That the Sony A7S3 is hard to remember that designation. Anyway, what am I looking to compare with now? GH5S. Okay, let's search for that. Yeah, it's about 2,100 Canadian. It's less than half the Sony. So you can still add the price of the speed booster, and it's going to get you up to about, like, the Metabones 0.64 speed booster. Let's look up that. It's for Micro Four Thirds, actually, the one we're looking for. We want the Canon EF. The other advantage of the speed booster, it's amazing, is another advantage to the speed booster. You can get, well, yeah, I can get a speed booster for a Canon EF to Micro Four Thirds for $295. I can get it for that inexpensive of a price. If I buy, and also the manufacturer in that case looks like it's Viltrox. And there's one, there's one by MFT. MFT seems to be the manufacturer. Don't know who they are. So you can get these speed boosters for a lot less money. Not sure. It's probably not. All the features may not work on the camera. If you have the speed booster, maybe you can't get the autofocus or something. Or maybe, I'm not sure whether you lose some of the features. But the standard in the industry is Metabones, and they're more like $1,500. But the beauty of getting a speed booster is you can actually have a different lens, because it's an adapter as well. It not only focuses the light and thereby increases the maximum ISO, you know, number. In other words, increases the low light sensitivity. It not only does that, but it also allows you to switch lenses to a different manufacturer. You can suddenly put all your Canon EF lenses on your camera, on your Micro Four Thirds camera. That's what it does. So you can switch to a Canon mount, Canon EF mount, which enables you to buy Canon lenses. That's incredible. So that's the reason. And then you can buy, like, for now, I could buy an inexpensive Canon lens that would do the job. But I could buy, what would I need? I guess I'd need to use the 50 millimeter lens then, right? Is that true? Because this is focusing it down and reducing the, trying to think, what does the micro, or what does the 0.64 do to the focal length? I've forgotten. Okay, what does speed booster do? Speed booster. Okay, Metabones. Telecompressor, they're calling it. Speed booster. Okay, what does, yeah. Well, I think it tells me in that table I was looking at right here, wherever it was. Where was it? Here it is. Yeah, let's see. What does the 4/3? Yeah, what does the 0.64 speed booster? We need to be patient when we're trying to learn this stuff. Speed booster due to the focal length. That's what I want to know. Do speed boosters change the focal length? Obviously they do, but well, it reduces it by that factor, right? Okay. So it's a 0.64. So you're going to get. So the. Okay, yeah. Well, the crop factor of an APS-C sensor is about 1.5, apparently. 1.52. Well, yeah, that's from the Metabones website. Let me read that. Well, anyway, we know that if you have a certain focal length on a Micro Four Thirds camera, it's going to be a 25. If we have a 25 millimeter, it's going to be the same as a 50. So we want to end up with 25. So that means if we want to put a lens onto a speed booster, if it's altering the focal length, we want to end up with 25 by the time it gets to the camera, because then that will be equivalent with 50 if we're using just a lens that's not telephoto, if it's just got one focal length and that's all it has. So we have to just do the computation at the time. We have to figure it out. We have to make sure we know what we're doing when we make the decision to go that way. You know, when we buy the camera and the lens and the speed booster that we buy, it's a lot of money, so we have to be sure that we have it worked out in detail, and we've found somebody who's using it already or something. We can find out for sure that it works, but it also affects depth of field maybe, but I mean that's more complex, they're saying. Let's see. Right. Speed booster reduces focal length. Okay. It's a field of view, right? Yeah, full frame cameras show more in the frame. That's why they're called full frame, partly too. Whereas a Micro Four Thirds is a smaller sensor. That means if it's for the same focal length, you're going to focus, you know, the light on the smaller sensor. And I'm trying to think, it doesn't focus fast enough. You know, it doesn't focus in a short enough distance for you to be able to get, like, there's not enough room between the lens and the film or the sensor, so it can't take as wide a field and focus it down onto such a small sensor, so you end up with a narrower field focused onto that sensor. So full frame cameras can focus a wider field onto that bigger sensor because it's focusing at that same focal length, you know, at the same focal length. That's why smaller cameras need a faster, or a you know, It needs the light to be focused in a tighter space, because it's the same distance from the lens to the film essentially, and the sensor's smaller. You have to get more information crammed into a tighter space, so you need a focal length that's smaller that can be tighter. It focuses everything down tighter in order to be equivalent to the full frame. That's what's happening. So it's basic math or physics, you know, it's very simple stuff to understand once you know a little bit more about it, but it keeps on getting more complicated as you study more aspects of it. These quantities do not care whether, okay. Let's see. I'm reading their website, the Metabones website. It's about the field of view. That's what it is. Yeah. So yeah, so on an APS-C you want roughly 35 millimeters to be equivalent. I mean, 35 millimeter lens, if you don't have a speed booster, is equivalent on an APS-C to a 50 millimeter lens. On a Micro Four Thirds sensor size, which is smaller, smaller than either of those, then you need a 25 millimeter lens if you want to be equivalent to a 50 millimeter field of view, or the amount of your subject that you've got in frame. You know, if you want to have the same frame size as a full frame camera, you have to get a tighter focus of the light onto the sensor, because it's a smaller sensor, so it has to be focused more rapidly on, you know, in a tighter distance, because you've got limited space in which to do the focusing, because the camera, you don't want it to be this long, you know. That's the idea. So but a speed booster is going to just reduce this, make it focus more faster, right, in a shorter distance. So a speed booster equivalently makes it just decreases the focal length, you know, and that's good. Or it makes it focus harder, in other words, it focuses quicker, more densely, and therefore you're going to get more light. It's going to increase the low light response, improve that, but it's also going to give you a bigger frame, like, essentially. So these speed boosters can take, therefore, if we take a speed if the speed booster were 0.5, which it isn't, it would be giving us a 25 millimeter essentially from a 50, which would essentially mean that the speed booster with the 50, we could use just a standard 50, and we just use a speed booster that was 0.5, and it would be identical in terms of how big a field of view we'd have in our frame, right? On the final image, we'd have the same size if it were 50. I mean, if it were the standard 50, but if we multiplied it, if it's normally a factor of two different because of the sensor size being smaller by a factor of two, we would then be getting that back by having a 0.5 speed booster. It would make everything come down again, and effectively doubling the size of the field of view, and that would compensate for this half size sensor. So you know, it just does nothing except increases the amount of light. In that case, you can use the same lens, and if you've got a Canon lens, you can use that. If you buy this speed booster that has a Canon EF mount on it, you could do that. But we don't have 0.5. That's not one of our options. So we got 0.6. So when we look at the 0.6, 0.64, that's the one that we're looking at. Where did it go? Here it is. Yeah. So we got the 0.64 speed booster, which is a Canon EF to a Micro Four Thirds. That's one that we can get. We can also get a 0.71. There's another one, but that's for the Blackmagic or the other ones. Okay, so these are for the Micro Four Thirds, you get 0.71 or 0.64. Those are the two choices. So, I mean, the 0.64 is the one that is favored for the Panasonic cameras. So that's the one I'm looking at. That's the one I was looking at. So, that's not what I want. Hang on. That's not what I was doing. Okay. I wanted to get pop up a. That's good. Okay. Yeah. I want to be able to see my. My face while I'm doing this without looking at a separate monitor. So this is what you can do with these things. So I need to investigate in more detail, but they look very expensive, except that the Panasonic is a lot less money. I can almost afford to buy the Panasonic camera. The only advantage of getting a camera over a webcam is I could carry the camera around with me and use it for making, as a mobile camera for making my movies and things. I wouldn't, but I can use the phone for that. I can use my phone already for that. But I don't want to go mobile in the sense of batteries. I still want to be plugged into the wall socket power. I want to get power. So I'm not wearing out my batteries all the time, but that's just my preference for doing it. So anyway, if we get a 0.64, we can roughly see what we're getting, right? If we were to get a 0.64, we'd end up with 0.64 times 5, which is, or times 50, 0.64 times 50, which is 32. That's not small enough. It needs to be 25 if we want it to be equivalent, right, to a 50 millimeter. So it's still, it might be small enough for me to use it as at the distance I want to use it at. And it might be a good enough similarity between 25 millimeters and 32. Because I need 25 to be equivalent. 25 would be equivalent to 50. This would be equivalent to a 64 millimeter lens, which would not. So I want to get, if I got the speed booster, which is a lot of money, but if I got that, I'd want to have a lens that was probably, maybe I'd want to get a telephoto lens. You can get maybe a telephoto lens that has f2.8, or I don't know if you can even get that, but if you could get that, then you could, that would become equivalent to, it would improve, you could improve on that in terms of how much light you were getting. It would be more equivalent to, well, if you can get any lens with f2, right, let's say you get f4, yeah, just for, if you multiply f4 times 0.64, what is that, 1.56 or something, 4 times 0.64, 2.56, which is like f2.6 or something, f2.5, right? It's equivalent to, you know, it's better than f2.8, but it's still not very good. So if you want, if you had an f2 lens, so if I don't use a telephoto, I can get an f2 lens, let's say, and that would give me 1.28 for the equivalent in the aperture size in terms of how much light is getting in. And that means it would be good in low light. Better, I mean, but you could put a lens, you could put the same lens, you couldn't put the same lens on the Sony camera, because if you could, it'd fall on the full frame camera, on any full frame camera, you couldn't put the same lens and achieve any better than this, because, the thing is, its image sensor size is bigger on the Sony. That's the thing. So we'd just be able to, if we got an, but yeah, the advantage is if we had an f1.2 lens, I tried to type F into my camera. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't know what 1F is, in a calculator. 1.2 times 0.64. If I could get a 1.2 lens, I could get an equivalent of 0.76, which is very, very big aperture. Or let's say 1.4, I get an equivalent of 0.9 for the f-stop number, which is better than you get on the Sony, right? But it would just be improved by whatever the Sony would, not the Sony, it's just, I'm talking about any full-frame camera, but the Sony's the best one for the low light sensitivity. That's why I'm calling it the Sony. So we could get 0.9s instead of what you might get on the Sony with 1.4 or something for the same lens equivalent. So, but it would just be the same factor of 0.64. You're improving it by 0.64. So whatever the pixel size is, it's like having a bigger pixel size. by that factor of 1/0.64, you know, you just it's almost a factor of, well, 1.5 roughly, 1.5 times bigger or more light, 1.5 times more light, which is going to almost be like increasing the pixel size of the camera. So it's an economical way to do it, but it's not that economical. You want, maybe I shouldn't get the speed booster because, you know, of course I don't have to use the speed booster all the time if I don't have low light. Speed booster also weighs something. It's not lightweight. It weighs like maybe how much does it weigh? A pound or something? Or let's look that up. How much does a speed booster weigh? You know. See what I can find. So 6 ounces. It's not a pound. Yeah. Looks like it weighs a pound, a half a pound, you know, a third of a pound, something like that. So it adds some weight to the camera, which is not something we wanted to do either, really. You know, it makes it harder to carry it around. Now, mind you, how much does the Panasonic weigh compared to the Sony? You'd have to compare that too and see whether it's, what's the, well, we were comparing the two cameras. Let's take a look at that. I was doing that, right? Yeah, I did that. Let's take a look at that. Where is it? Is this the one? That's a multi-tab. That's the FX30. You can't even buy that one right now. But what was the other one? Comparing. Here it is. Yeah. So we were seeing that the pixel size was 8.4 from the Sony compared to the other one. There's the price. What's the weight? It doesn't give us that? Oh, no. You can choose. Oh, I know. Okay, I thought we could just select more specs. Oh, it's got more comparisons. Yeah. Common strengths and common weaknesses. I mean, weaknesses. Common strengths and common weaknesses. Excuse me. What was I going to say there about this? The other specs. What about the weight? Yeah, I don't know. But you can. It's not good enough to just compare the specs. It's important to read reviews. The GH. Okay, yeah, GH5S. Weight. Okay, and now we'll look up. 1.46 pounds. Okay, the Sony. Well, I don't even need to say Sony because it's well known what these things are. Who makes them? The model name is unique. Nobody makes an identical model name. Well, I want to say weight. The weight of it. 1.4. Okay, so they weigh the same. But actually, the Panasonic is heavier. Okay, yeah. But all these things you'd probably need to consider. You would probably definitely want to consider most of those things, if they're important to you anyway, before you purchase something. But then I read all the reviews on Amazon which talk about why people liked them or didn't like them. And I've got a lot of learning still to do, and I don't know what I'm going to buy, or if anything. I think maybe I don't need a film camera. Maybe I just need a webcam that I mount on my laptop by clamping it on there, and I just need a good enough webcam. Maybe that's all I need, and then I've solved all my problems. So if that's the case, I can maybe get away with spending a lot less money in that case, if that's what I'm doing. If I make most of my movies sitting in front of my computer. So let's look at Psalms 12, Little Children. To the director on the lower octave, a melody of David. Let's ask Jehovah for some direction. Jehovah, help us and guide us in our attempts to understand your wisdom that you've provided through the book that we today call the Bible, the book that we call the Bible, which is in fact a grouping of books that were written by loyal servants of yours that were decided or categorized as such by the people who the religious authorities who assessed them, you know, back around the time of I'm thinking it was around the time of 400 or so, 300 or 400 years after Christ, when the Bible canon was essentially established. And help us, Jehovah, to interpret the words in the Bible in the way that can help us to be happier and to help others to live lives of great joy, you know, in comparison to the lives that they might have lived if they didn't have this information. Help us to benefit, in other words, from the information in your word, to be thereby made healthier and wiser. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, to the director on the lower octave, as I said, a melody of David, as I said, Psalms 12. Do save me, O Jehovah, for the loyal one has come to an end. For faithful people have vanished from the sons of men. Untruth they keep speaking one to the other. With a smooth lip they keep speaking, even with a double heart. Jehovah will cut off all smooth lips, the tongue speaking great things. Those who have said, with our tongue we shall prevail. Our lips are with us. Who will be a master to us? Because of the despoiling of the afflicted ones, because of the sighing of the poor ones, I shall at this time arise, says Jehovah. I shall put him in safety from anyone that puffs at him. The sayings of Jehovah are pure sayings, as silver refined in a smelting furnace of earth, clarified seven times. You yourself, O Jehovah, will guard them. You will preserve each one from this generation to time indefinite. The wicked ones walk all around, because vileness is exalted among the sons of men. That's a remarkable psalm. That's Psalm 12. It acknowledges that there are, in fact, people who don't tell the truth in the world, and that there are wicked people who actually exalt. There are people exalting evil, or vileness, as it's called here. It's exalted in the world, among the sons of men, among many, or some at least, but probably many, because we know the world in general is under the control of the wicked spirit of the devil, and the wicked ones walk all around because they can do that, and it's thought of as a great thing among the majority, right? So that's the idea there. But, you know, whether we take this to heart and understand it and take it into our minds and our hearts is up to us. We don't have to be like those ones, obviously, either. I mean, that's not what it's saying. It's saying, it's praying to Jehovah to deliver us from these wicked humans, you know. But, of course, there are spirit creatures that can be influencing us and also other. Hopefully, they can influence humans in general, and therefore we would want to be free of the influence of the wicked spirits also. And they get in by, you know, allowing us to, or influencing us into doing things that aren't giving Jehovah the first place. You know, if we use certain substances, for example, in a way that's not intended to give us health, but it's for some other purpose, then it's not giving us our overall health, you know, then it's not certainly isn't a good thing. We have to be even, it wouldn't be a good thing because it would take us away from Jehovah into something else. Jehovah wants us to be happy. He wants us to be healthy. But whether we also need to listen to Jehovah as far as having his help to tell us what is healthy. Because we might think that we have, you know, a way to get good health, but it might not be. If it did give us entirely good health, of course that would be a good thing. But we might imagine that Jehovah would approve of that if we had good health. If we're happier and healthier and have more energy, and if we're doing it while we're trying to serve Jehovah, then we might think that that's something Jehovah approves of. But we need to be constantly alert to see whether any ideas that we have might be incorrect, or whether. But I'm thinking that good health is, to me, it seems logical that good health would be something Jehovah would want us to have. It seems like that's true, but that's a human viewpoint. That's my human viewpoint. Maybe that's, I'm not certain of any of it because it's a human viewpoint. But I certainly am looking for ways to avoid sickness and avoid ill health. And I'm looking for ways to find better health, to get better health, to get become healthier, to become, to live longer and stronger. And I'm looking for those ways. And that has essentially nothing to do with this psalm. I'm just saying that this psalm makes me think about this. But it doesn't seem to me that it's vile to want to get our health, to want to be healthier and live longer in a happier way, and hopefully help others to do the same so we can live in a happier world too. But wickedness is not, the wicked ones aren't necessarily unhappy in their own minds. That's not necessarily the case. It's not talking about that, but Jehovah is the happy God. I think that's 1 Timothy 1:11. Is it 1 Timothy 1:11? 1 and 10. 1 and 11. Well, 1 and 11, right. 1 Timothy. It's got all the ones in it. 1 Timothy 1:11. So if we go, let's read Ecclesiastes 12 now. Little children, please, let's look at this. Remember now your grand creator in the days of your young manhood. Before the calamitous days proceed to come, or the years have arrived when you will say, I have no delight in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds have returned, afterward the downpour, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the men of vital energy have bent themselves and the grinding women have quit working because they have become few and the ladies seeing at the windows have found it dark, and the doors onto the street have been closed, when the sound of the grinding mill becomes low, and one gets up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song sound low. Also, they have become afraid merely at what is high, and there are terrors in the way. And the almond tree carries blossoms, and the grasshopper drags itself along, and the caperberry bursts, because man is walking to his long-lasting house, and the wailers have marched around in the street. Before the silver cord is removed, and the golden bowl gets crushed, and the jar at the spring is broken, and the water wheel for the cistern has been crushed, then the dust returns to the earth, just as it happened to be. And the spirit itself returns to the true God who gave it. The greatest vanity, said the congregator. Everything is vanity. And besides the fact that the congregator had become wise, he also taught the people knowledge continually, and he pondered and made a thorough search that he might arrange many proverbs in order. The congregator sought, to find the delightful words in the writing of correct words of truth. The words of the wise ones are like ox goads, and just like nails driven in are those indulging in collections of sentences. They have been given from one shepherd. As regards anything besides these, my son, take a warning. To the making of many books there is no end, and much devotion to them is wearisome to the flesh. The conclusion of the matter, everything having been heard, is, fear the true God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole obligation of man. For the true God himself will bring every sort of work into the judgment in relation to every hidden thing, as to whether it is good or bad. And that was Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and the final chapter of that book. So now we'll be starting with the Song of Solomon on our next study. That's chapter 12 is the final chapter of Ecclesiastes. So let's see what we've got. Oh, there it is, yeah. Oh, we're over an hour, I think. So it looks like it's time to wrap this up. You can see from my discussion of the shopping for the cameras what are the many things I'm needing to consider. And how complex it is. But two of the prime candidates are the GH5S and the A7S3. They're two of the prime candidates. They would give some, if I had the speed booster for the Lumix, or the, which is the Panasonic, I mean, I would then have a similar low-light performance, it seems like, as I would get with the Sony. With the A7S3. There are other Sony options, too, like the FX3, which is more expensive, and the FX30, which is less expensive, too. Those are options. I believe the FX3 might be a good option, actually. I think it's a full-frame sensor. Let's look that up again. What's the FX3? Sensor, what is it like? Yeah, it's got the 12 megapixels, so it would have a similar, it's full frame, so it's the same size, 35 or 36 millimeters, plus it has the 12 megapixels, so it's the same exact size of pixel, which means it should be the same low light performance, but it's a more expensive camera, so should be, maybe it's, and it's intended to be a cinema camera, should be better for movies. Maybe it's not as good for, you know, can it shoot stills, you know? I think it can, but it can still capture them, yeah. It doesn't have dedicated buttons for photography, it says, so it's meant to be a cinema camera. That might be what I want, but it's $6,000, I think. Where is it? Let's see if I've got it here. The Alpha 9 is $6,000. Okay, there's that one, too. But how many pixels is that? 24. So it's not going to have the low-light performance. It sounds like it can't. It just won't. So if I let's look up the FX3. I think they have it. There it is. It's $5,000. Oh, it's actually very similar in price. That's right. The 7S3 was 48, something like this. This is 5,000. Exactly, pretty well. The 7S3 is 4,800, so it's almost the same. 7S3. Yeah, so it's very comparable to the FX3. The FX3 is a camera that I can seriously should and can consider. And it's got 53 ratings, 87% 5 stars. It's got a very good rating from 53 reviews or ratings. And some people say don't buy the S3 by this. The S3 is the 7S3 they're talking about, which is the other one I just mentioned. So if you have a lot of money, they say buy this one. But some people say this camera gets warm, and that it makes a sound when you're taking a snapshot. You can hear the shutter in a different way. So not all reviews are positive. I mean, but there are some very positive reviews, and it's 87% 5 stars. There are 0 1-star, which is rare. And out of 53 reviews, not one person says it's only worth 1 star, so that's pretty good. And so it's 90% 4 or 5, 97% 3, 4, or 5 stars, and 100% 2, 3, 4, or 5 stars. That's how the ratings are for that camera. So I like it. It looks plausible, but I have to figure out, it weighs, really? It weighs 1.5 kilograms? Is that true? I thought the other one weighed, didn't the other one weigh, okay, hang on a sec. Oh, I guess I looked at it in the other, yeah. I looked at it over here. That's not the one, is it? Well, that's. I'm going to drag that out of my way for a second here. Yeah, here it is. 1.4 pounds for that one. And then put that back. And this one was 8FX, full frame. Okay, let's get the weight. Well, the Amazon site is what gave me that. I'm spelling it wrong, doesn't matter. But okay. Oh, it's only, here it is, here, I guess. Yeah. It can't be 1.5 kilograms. It must be 1.5 pounds is what they mean. That's a mistake. That's got to be a typo. It's got to be wrong. Uh-oh. That is bad. My mouse just locked up, so I'm using switch into my other mouse. That happens sometimes. I get a lockup on my super fast mouse. But so why is it saying that? It's got to be wrong. Let's try typing. Now I can't type either, because my keyboard will have locked up also. Let's see. I can't type. That's bad, isn't it? That's terrible. But it's only terrible when I'm making a video. I can't reboot. I can't reboot while I'm making a video. But I can type here. Let's see. FX3. Oh, on here. FX3 specs. Right, that'll give me like a website for Sony's website. It's not giving it to me. What's happened? Okay, I have to double finger drag, get down to this. There it is. The Asia Sony. Sony Asia will give me the specs here. Now I need to go Command Plus, get it bigger so I can read it. There we go. Drag. I'm not used to using this mouse pad, but it's the one on the laptop that it's useful when my other one locks up. But I don't usually use it, so I'm not good at using it. It's one, really? Oh, including the supplied accessories. Okay. The weight of the main unit is 1 pound. It's a kilogram, including the XLR handle, the battery pack, the SD card. Are the accessories, I guess. They're the accessories. If you put it all on there, it weighs a kilogram. Isn't that what we were saying? Already said, we said that already? Let's go back. That seems, it could be heavier, but I'm not sure if that's going to be correct. Yeah, well, they were saying 1.5 kilograms in the actual sight, which seems a bit heavy, seems a bit wrong. I'm going to get used to this trackpad, I think. 1.5 kilograms, it just can't be right. It's more likely 1.5 pounds, but then again, it weighs a kilogram if you put the accessories on it, so maybe it is 1.5 kilograms in some configuration. But I wouldn't believe it without some more research. But is it bigger? I don't think it's bigger. I think it's very compact. Just like it's the same size. The size and weight, yeah. Okay, let's get the specifications for the other one. Let's get the specifications. Okay, specs of the 7S3. Yeah, wrong. 7S3 specs. I got to do it on this keyboard or I can't do it because my system has locked up. Okay, now what about the Sony Asia? Well, there it is. Specs and features. Well, it's not the Sony Asia website. It's just another Sony website. Should be accurate enough. Specs. Okay, let's click on that. See what we got. See what we can do here with this. Here it is. Possibly. Let's see. Lens, sensor type, viewfinder, monitor type. Full specs. Right. Okay. Sensor type, recording format, image size. Image size, it's focus, exposure, viewfinder. It's got a lot of features, a lot of specs. So I'm trying to get down to the weight. If we can get down there. Size and weight, okay. 1 pound, 7 ounces. It says they're with the battery and memory card. But it doesn't have that other thing that the other one mentioned, which was the handle, the XLR handle. So that weighs something, the XLR handle. What is the XLR handle? Let's look at the features, see if we can see. Let's try and get a picture of it, like XLR. XLR handle. FX3. Maybe I'll drag it over here if I can get a picture of it. Here it is, XLR handle unit. Right, so there's the XLR handle. Okay, yeah, maybe I can drag it over to this window. So the additional thing that comes with it is this. I need to keep on using the same trackpad for now until I reboot. So there it is. This is the thing that's the XLR handle that weighs something. It enables you to apparently it holds it's a microphone holder and things like that. It weighs something, so that was included in the weight. I think the cameras themselves, what did we say, what did it say the camera weighed? The body only. Well, we already got that weight somewhere. Right, do I have one here? Let's take a look. I think it's in here because I was considering. No, it's not here, hang on. I thought I was considering it. I'm not considering it at the moment. Let's just look it up. Okay, there it is, 7S3. Yep, 7S3. That's the one. $4,800, and it says 612 grams. The body alone. Okay, that's not with it. That's not with a lens, right? No, right. So what was the other one arriving? What did it have for accessories? Really? Yeah, I don't know. What are the dimensions? Oh, yeah, let's look at the dimensions, too. 24 by 22 by 14 for the FX3. Oh yeah, it's a lot smaller. 9 by 12 by 6 by 7. 9 by 12, 9 by 13 by 7. 10 by 13 by 7 centimeters. That seems smaller by a long shot. This one is 25 by 22 by 15. Is that really? It can't be that big. It can't be that big. Okay, it just can't be. And I know that because, it has the other thing attached to it. It has the other device attached to it. That device, the XLR handle unit, is attached. That's probably why it's a bigger size, but it shouldn't be that big, should it? Well, that must be what it's doing. Yeah, it's the same, because I've seen a picture where they overlap the two. The cameras are basically the same size, I believe, but we're not seeing a true representation of the cameras together. Like if I, yeah, I don't know. The Sony A, the S, the A7 S3, and FX3, if I say, I can't type it that way because my keyboard's dead. Okay, let's say FX3 and A7 S3. I did the wrong keys again. Okay, I'm typing here. FX3, I'm used to typing on the other keyboard, obviously, very used to it. A7 S3, enter. See if we can do this. Let's get images now and see what we find for images, right? There they are, side by side. So that shows that's what they're like. They're the same size, essentially. But the FX3, you know, if we drag, whoops, what happened there? What did I do? Click on this, there. So that's what we're looking at. The other one has things attached to it. That's why it's bigger. But anyway, that's what those are the cameras that I've learned. I learned about the FX3 at some point, but I haven't really, until today, I didn't do very much of a direct comparison until today. But there's a lot more work to do in the research before buying something that expensive. So for now, that's it. This is Ward Green. It's October 12th, 2022. It's 21:19 hours. And thank you for watching. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll catch you on the next one, I guess. I mean, I'll hopefully be continuing this series, and we'll start with Song of Solomon. So bye for now.